4:08. Brother Oscar, do you want to pray?
Sure. Father, we just come into your presence right now, Lord.
Yes,
we
Lord.
Just thank you as we go into this study of the book of Revelation, that we know this is a revelation of your Son, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And we just ask you, Father, to just open our eyes that we might behold the beauty of you in your word, and that we might just see you in all the scriptures, but that we might know you on a personal level, and that revelation would just be an unfolding thing that would keep unfolding and unfolding until we see you as you are.
Yes.
We will be just like you.
Amen.
Thank you for what you're going to do here today. We give you all the praise and all the glory. Just pour yourself for Brother Rich and all of the people sitting around here, that we might all just share the beauty of you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Amen, amen. It's funny because Oscar's prayer goes right into where I was going to start. And, you know, and because of where we are right now, it's the best example of how the book of Revelation is a book of times and shadows. It's a book of looking back to the types and shadows that came in the Old Testament, because remember we talked last week about how the faces of the four beasts, it can't be taken literally, right?
Right.
But then you got some folks that say, okay, well, this is to be taken spiritually, in the spirit, like we're going to be talking about four beasts, okay? Nobody's seen four beasts with four different heads.
I'm
warning. And so it's easy for people to say, okay, this is to be taken spiritual, because I don't think I'll ever see a beast with four heads. One looks like a man, one looks like a calf, one looks like a flying eagle, and one looks like a lion. Right? So that one's easy to say, oh, okay, that's not to be taken literally, right? That's easy, because no one's ever seen that beast walking on this earth. No one ever will. Okay? So if that's to be taken spiritual, why wouldn't pretty much the rest of the book be taken spiritually? So anyway, I was going to say that just because, you know, we're going to start getting into some, in the natural, pretty crazy stuff. But in the spirit, there's an explanation for all of it, okay? And in Revelation 4:8, just to go back for a second, you know, we talked last week about the face of a lion, face of a calf, the face of a man, and the face of a flying eagle. So we're not going to really go back to that very much, because we're going to talk a little bit about Ezekiel. And geez, the first chapter of Ezekiel, you could talk for days, you could talk for weeks on that. So we're going to try to condense it down to the point where you get something out of it and we can move on, because it would be, you know, it could be a long, long time spending on this, you know, Ezekiel scripture that we're going to get to here. The first chapter of Ezekiel is just phenomenal. I would recommend everybody to, you know, maybe spend some time reading Ezekiel 1, to get more of an understanding of what this is all about. So, but we're going to kind of touch on it today, and we're going to move on. And the other thing I wanted to say is all these things that, okay, here we are talking in Ezekiel. The only difference between Ezekiel and Revelation 4 is that one is a calf in Revelation 4, and in Ezekiel it's an ox, okay? But they have similar representation, okay? They represent pretty much the same thing. So with that, we'll get into this 4:8. And it says, and the four beasts had each of them six wings. about him, and they were full of eyes within, and rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which is, and which is, which was, which is, and which is to come. Revelation 4:9, and those beasts gave give glory and honor and thanks to him, and sat on the throne, who liveth forever day, and, or forever and ever. Okay. How did Oscar complete his prayer?
What?
How did Oscar, when he prayed this morning, how did he finish his prayer? He said, Lord, we give you glory and honor in the name of Jesus. And that's exactly what we came in with Revelation 4:9, because we, our lives, are the fruit of our lips, we're always giving him glory and honor. We're always thanking him. We're always putting him where he in his rightful place. And that's, you know, the head. He is the head. Jesus is the head. We're the body. So we're growing up into that headship of Christ. So anyway, again, we could spend tons. We could read the whole chapter of Ezekiel 1 and have a good time with it, but I think it's just spending too much time. You know, I just want to show that that John didn't just pop up with this stuff. He read Ezekiel 1, although it wasn't called Ezekiel 1 back then. So the Holy Spirit brought back to John's remembrance Ezekiel 1 when he did Revelation 4. Does that make sense to everybody?
Yes.
Okay, good. So anyway, Ezekiel 1:10 says, I just started with 10. I mean, again, you could start with 1:1, but I start with 10 because I just want to stick to the faces and then move on. So their faces looked like this. Each living creature had a human face. Now, you check the order of this. Remember, the order of Revelation was lion and
ox.
Calf, was it?
Ox.
Ox, calf, okay. And then human, and then flying eagle, right? Okay, so just keep that in your mind when we read this, because the order, always with God, the order has some significance, okay? Okay, so their faces look like this. A living creature had a human face, or this is the expanded Bible, which I really like in this because it does describe a lot. Human face, or the face of a man, and the face of the lion. So you got the man first, you got the lion second. On the right side, and the face of an ox on the left side. Now we know, we're going to talk about that. And each one also had the face of an eagle. Okay? That was what their faces looked like. Their wings were spread out above. Each had two wings that touched the other living creatures and two wings that covered its body. Each went straight ahead wherever the spirit or wind would go. The living creatures would also go without turning. The living creatures look like, and this is significant to what it's in Isaiah with the taking the coals off the fire that we're going to talk about here in a little bit, where he said, holy, 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 which is, of course, was also in Revelation 4. The living creatures look like burning coals of fire, like torches. Fire went back and forth from among the living creatures. It was bright, radiant, and lightning flashed from it. The living creatures ran back and forth like bolts of lightning. Now, every bit of that we've talked about in Revelation. Everything we just said, basically, we had talked, it's in Revelation. So the Holy Spirit was bringing to John back this revelation, and so we're going to talk about that a little bit. Before I put my two cents in, does anybody have any comments? Yes.
The Lord dealt with me real strongly about this scripture one time. And going back to just the first verse there, when he said he was
Chabar?
By the river Chabar, and the heavens were open, and I saw visions of God. The word for visions there is the word mirror. He saw mirror visions of God. And so When you look in the mirror, who do you see?
Yourself. I hope me.
You see yourself.
You see yourself.
So this revelation that he had here was a revelation of God in himself. Okay.
Christ in you, the hope of glory.
You look in the mirror, and that's not that vision there. The word vision there is not a real good translation of the word. It's the real meaning of that word is mirror or looking glass. Mm-hmm. If you go back into the original mm-hmm. words, that's what it really means. So when you look in the looking glass or you look in the mirror, you see yourself. Mm-hmm. So he was having a revelation of God inside himself.
And that's what he's seeing?
Well,
here.
In the spirit, yes.
In the spirit, that's what he saw. But all of the things that he's seen were very significant. But I don't want to.
No, that's. This whole time is going to be about this, and then we're going to move on.
I mean, I can tell you what the Lord showed me if you want to hear
it. Go for it.
Okay. He saw those four faces, and he saw the first one was the face of a man. So. You have to realize that God had never revealed himself with the nature or the character or the face of a man. All of those faces are significant of a character or nature. Mm-hmm. What is the nature of man? You know, how many wings did he have back there? He had four wings. Okay, four wings. Mm-hmm. If you look at four, it's the number for the world. So what the Lord showed me was that he was going to come to a place where he was going to reveal himself to the world as a man, in the form of a man, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The second one was the ox. Wasn't the second one back? Second one, the ox.
The ox. You talking about Revelation or Ezekiel?
No, Ezekiel. No, the second one is
the ox.
The ox, wasn't it?
And Revelation, yes.
Yeah.
The second one here is lion.
Okay. He was going to come as the lion of the tribe of Judah. Okay.
Right.
And if you go back and you read the prophecy that was given to Judah, he was going to be like a lion's whelp, and he was going to be all this kind of stuff. And the kingdom wasn't going to depart from between his feet until Shiloh come, it says. And that was the prophecy that was given to Judah. Mm-hmm. And Shiloh is literally has the meaning of, basically, it's the meaning of God coming, you know. And Jesus was the fulfillment of that, of God coming as a man. He was going to show the nature of the tribe of Judah. He was coming from that. He was going to show the face of an ox. An ox talks about labor. He was going to come, you know, Jesus said he came to serve, not to be served. You know, that's what an ox does, it labors. And he had the face of an eagle. We know, we talked about that last week, eagles have vision. You know, ultimate vision, they fly in the sky. This one isn't flying, no, this one's on the earth.
Right.
So Jesus, when he came, he was going to reveal this in man in the form of Jesus first, mm-hmm. see, to the world. And then, if you go on up into Revelations, you see those same creatures up there, but the order has changed. Well, anytime you talk about the face of something, you're talking about its character, its nature, and all that kind of stuff. So when you go up into the book of Revelations, you see the order has changed. The first order, the first face you see up there is a lion, the lion of the tribe of Judah. The second one up there is the calf. He was coming as a servant, but then he was going to come as the lion of the tribe of Judah, which was going to set creation free. And he was going to be a flying eagle. So he was going to soar, and it was going to be a type of, you were going to be able to soar in the heavenlies. Why was there four wings back here and six up there? There was four because he first was going to reveal himself to the earth He was showing that revelation that was going to happen. And in Revelations, there were six wings because when he came the second time, Scripture tells us that when he comes a second time, he'll come without sin unto total salvation. And six is the number for man. He's going to bring total salvation to all of mankind, not just a revelation to the earth, but to all of mankind. See? And you know,
so many layers.
It's beautiful when God shows it to you, and the natures were changed there because he was coming the second time that he would come. It will be as the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, which will set creation free, totally free.
Now that's the second coming.
That's the second coming, but that coming, you got to remember where that coming was being shown from. Where was it being shown from? Back in Ezekiel.
In them
looking glass mirror visions.
Oh.
In here. So in Revelations, guess where it's going to happen?
In here.
Okay, same place. That's why if you go to Romans the 8th chapter where it says, all creation groans and travails waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. They're waiting for a full disclosure of what's inside of man. The sons of God. It's going to set creation free. They're going to be set free into the glorious liberty of being the children of God. All of creation. If you read it in Romans the 8th chapter. So, and I hate to say all this because I don't know where you're going. I didn't want to trample on anything you're going to say.
No.
Even these faces and this creature he's seeing here and these wings and all this kind of stuff, when you realize that as he goes on, these things move, and I you know, you'd have to almost read it, but they move in one accord. They move in one direction. And they don't go off in all opposite directions.
No.
And those four natures are in man. And the bestial nature in man, it's there inside of each one of us, see. But what it really is he's showing he's going to come with all of those natures and reveal himself as a man, first of all. And then later on, the second time he comes without sin unto total salvation, that's where he's going to come in his people, really. He's going to reveal himself as the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. And we used to sing a song, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah will break every band and he'll give to us the victory again and again and again. And we have been given the victory. We just don't usually walk in it and realize it, you know. But, you know, it's really a beautiful thing when you see it. And if you read the book of Ezekiel through, you know, there's some beautiful things back there if God opens them up. Sometime I'll have to go ahead and teach on this again out there.
Yeah,
because God really showed me a lot of things concerning this whole thing here. You know, even in the book of Ezekiel, but that's the two types there, and that's why the revelation in John, because you got to realize it was a revelation of Jesus Christ, and if you realize that in having a revelation of Jesus Christ, that revelation is coming inside of you. You're the body of Christ. You know, Scripture tells you you're the body of Christ, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So where's he going to appear? Is he going to appear in his body or not? Where do you appear every day? In that body sitting right over there.
Yeah.
If you don't, then we don't see you anymore. You're totally out of sight. So he's going to, that appearing is going to come in his body. For them that look for him shall he appear a second time without sin unto total salvation or unto salvation. And people, he's going to appear to all of creation and set them free. And I know that's pretty deep, but that's what's going to happen.
That was good. Anybody else before I say what kind of feel like the Lord gave me? Anybody else have anything to say?
No.
Come on, Ed, and tell us.
Tell me you what?
I'm just kidding. I know your wheels are turning right now.
Yeah.
Big turn. Yeah, that was really good. I'm just going to just add a couple things that, you know, I feel the Lord has shown me, and it's Oscar could go on and on because he's preached on this a few times. Again, we could go on and on with this, but, you know, we're going to just kind of spend a few more minutes with it. And, but so, anybody else have anything to say? Anything else? I have just a little couple things that I thought was interesting. You know, whenever you read a scripture, you try to pull something out of it and say, why did that get my attention? You know, what about that is significant? And so I like the idea that you had two creatures on the right and two creatures on the left. Okay, what God's right hand, what does God's right hand stand for?
At his right hand are pleasures evermore.
Yeah.
What?
At his right hand there are pleasures evermore.
That's what the scriptures say.
He deals with us, with giving us all the good things.
Yeah. Right hand speaks of the power, authority, blessings, all of those things.
Power, authority, blessings, that's his right hand. Whenever you see the right hand, remember Benjamin, the youngest of Jacob, was the son of the right hand. Okay?
Wasn't he left-handed? Yes, he was left-handed. Most of his
But you have to realize, if you're standing next to the Father, and you put your hand in his hand, which hand would you put in there if he was his right hand man? Your left hand.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what's the left hand?
Yeah.
We're going to get to that. Good question, huh?
It's a corrective
discipline. Then why do we shake hands with the right hand?
Because most people are right-handed.
Yes.
It's to show that your hand is empty, you're not going to hurt them. That's where that, that came from.
Our whole society is geared toward right-handed people.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think pitchers in baseball... The highest paid pitchers are left-handed pitchers.
Yep.
Because when they throw the ball, they throw it from a different side, and all those batters are used to hitting off a right-handed hitter, a right-handed pitchers, and it's harder for them to hit a left-handed pitcher because they're not used to the left hand. And everything you do is geared toward your right hand. When you get in your car and turn your ignition on, which hand do you use?
My right.
When you put your gear shift in gear, which hand do you use?
My right.
It don't go unless you use that right hand, right?
No.
Well, those of us who are left-handed in this world find it to be an inconvenience.
It is. It's hard and stressful. It's more stressful in people's lives, left-handed people.
Yes.
I remember
when I was young, even irons were set.
Not necessarily, but they have to be skilled with their left hand because everything's geared toward the right.
My brother was left-handed and my sister was left-handed.
Uh-huh.
So.
Were they smarter than you?
Well, yeah. Oh, whole lot.
Okay, so left hand, as Brenda said, is for correction, discipline, whatever. Okay, so the face of the human in the face of the lion is where the blessings, power, and all that. So, you know, you can look at this a lot of different ways. I just looked at it as, you know, he's going to bless the human race. He's going to bless us humans with... The second one, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. That's where our blessings come from. Without Jesus's, you know, dying, buried, resurrected, and ascended, you know, we'd be back into the law. We'd be back into stuff that, you know, we don't want to talk about. So on the right side is God's going to bless the humans. He's going to endue them with power. Didn't Jesus said, in greater things you shall do? Because I go to the Father, right?
Right.
So he's endued us with not only Jesus, but with the power of Jesus.
Wow.
That's the blessing, and it's a heck of a blessing.
When that fully comes to pass, and when we fully realize it and grab hold of it and bring it into our realm, that's when the second coming of Christ will come, when we all are of one accord.
Mm-hmm.
And we've come to the unity of the faith. We need to keep the unity of the Spirit. Let's keep looking for the same thing until we come into that unity.
Right, yes. That's like what she said, what Kathy said in John 17 is, if we all become unified as one, I mean, look at this church, this belief, this, that don't mess with these people because they believe differently from, you know, until all that goes away, the world's not going to believe totally.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what the Bible says. The Bible's very clear. We've got to put aside our differences, put aside our religions, put aside our doctrines, put aside our, you know, and become one.
Well, that'll never happen.
Well, it does happen.
It will
because
happen,
the Bible says it will happen, but it's not happens yet, that's for sure.
Yeah.
It will certainly not happen by anything we do.
Right.
It will happen by the power of God.
Exactly.
Bringing us.
Not by
my
spirit.
Yes.
So there's the right side. Okay. Now the left side is the ox and the eagle. Okay? Mm-hmm. So this, I mean, this is the way I look at it, and you all can jump in, but the left side is basically our walk. You know, I mean, as an ox, you know, didn't they have the ox tread the corn to break it down so that they could, you know, get the real essence of the wheat or whatever?
Right.
And then the eagle, of course, was constantly surveying everything. I mean, the eagle, even I think when the eagle's perched up in a tree or a cliff or whatever, I think that eagle's always constantly surveying. You know, when you think of an eagle, you think of the eagle eyes. You know, you've heard people say, oh man, she's got eagle eyes. You know, she can see things that most people can't see. And so you know, when you bring that all together, it's us. Jesus, you know, it's Jesus in us, and it's how much the Father loves us, how much the Father cares for us, how much the Father wants us to have relationship with Him. And then, you know, yeah, there's going to be correction along the way, but guess what? We welcome the correction. We welcome the correction because guess what? That's going to draw us closer to Him, and it's also going to bring us to that point where we are one with Him. Okay, so that's the quick little thing on the right and the left that I felt the Lord, you know, share with me. Just to kind of summarize it, and then anybody can say whatever they want. We should be brave as a lion, patient as an ox. Boy, an ox has to be patient. You know, going around in a circle all day long. Sometimes we feel like we go around in circles all day long, don't we? You know, but that ox, you don't hear that ox complaining. You don't hear that ox belly aching. You don't hear that ox doing anything. That ox just keeps going around, treading that wheat or whatever. Aspiring as an eagle, okay? So the eagle's constantly, you know, can see things that no other animal can see. And intelligent as a man. And sometimes I even question that part. But let's face it, a man is much more intelligent than the little puppy dog you go to when you go home, even though they're very intelligent. I don't want to dog the dogs, but let's face it, man has reasoning. There's many things that God put in man. People might say, well, my dog has a soul. Well, that's good. I mean, I'm not doubting that, but I'm just saying God put a lot of things in man that he didn't put into the animals, you know. So that's Right now, anything else you want to say before we move on? Because we could, again, talk about this a long time. So any other, you have a summary for all this that we could just kind of grab a hold of?
Well,
I mean, you've pretty much laid it out.
It's mean, to be honest with you, it's good to read both of these chapters together, you know, Ezekiel and Revelations, because you see two different things and you see two different orders. And any time that there's a different order in something, there's a reason. God's a God of order.
Yes.
So any time that the order changes, you know, which it did in the faces of this living creature or whatever you want to call it, or living beast or whatever.
From Ezekiel to Revelation, they changed.
The order of it changed. And then instead of, and you have to realize that in Ezekiel, it's the face of an eagle. In Revelation, the eagle's flying. He's a flying eagle.
Yeah.
Now, there's a difference between an eagle sitting somewhere and an eagle flying. An eagle sitting has visions of just the things surrounding it, just the revelation of what's around it, okay?
Perspective changes.
Perspective, yeah. And you have to realize that what was taking place here, God was going to read, he was telling us, if we learn to read prophetically, which he was telling mankind, I'm going to bring some revelation to you, and it's going to be something that you've never known before. When I'm going to show you the nature of inside of you, you know, and it's going to be, I'm going to reveal myself first as a man, then I'm going to reveal myself as the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. I'm going to reveal myself as an ox. I'm going to reveal myself as an eagle. All of those different characteristics that animal has, you know. And then when you get up in Revelations, the order changes. And it begins to be first the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, you know, which is going to bring back really the kingdom of God into this earth in the fullness, you know.
Maybe he changed it because of the people.
Well, he's changing it because you have to realize, what did Ezekiel say up there? What did I tell you? He said the visions was, the word vision meant, mirror visions.
Yeah.
He said, this is a revelation that's going to take place inside of you. If you look in the mirror, he's had visions of God in the mirror. Okay?
Now,
then if you go up into the other, in the book of Revelations, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. And where does that revelation has to take place? What is the mystery in Colossians that says that's been hidden from past generations, but now is made as clear as daylight, it says in the Philips, which is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. See, God he's revealing himself. This revelation that John had, he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and he saw the revelation of Jesus Christ. But this revelation he saw back here, God was going to tell him, now I'm going to show you in signs and types what I'm going to do at the end. And at the end, I'm coming back as the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, which will set creation totally free. That's why there's six wings back there instead of four, because he's going to set man free totally. That's why scripture says, for them that look for him shall he come a second time without sin unto salvation. Total salvation. And it's going to be salvation for all men. They're going to be set free. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
Okay. But basically, this whole chapter back here is tremendous. And if you ask the Lord, when you read scripture, ask the Lord, Lord, what are you trying to show me here? What are you saying to me? And tell him, don't go in with a lot of preconceived ideas and notions. And you'll find out that he'll open things up to you sometimes. And then you'll begin to see it for what it really is. And it's pretty amazing as he opens it up to you, you know. Because he was telling his whole plan of salvation all through the Old Testament. That's why a lot of people say, well, I don't know about the Old Testament. Well, that's because they don't have vision to see what's in the Old Testament. Because if you have vision to see what's in the Old Testament, He tells you his whole plan of salvation through the whole, all through the Old Testament. And then in the New Testament, he just shows it to you again, but he brings it more out into the open, you know.
When I first got saved, you know, they tell you read certain books, you know, in the New Testament. God always opened keys in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
And then showed things.
Mm-hmm.
He first started opening things, you know, in the Old Testament.
That's, I think that's the only reason, you know, God wanted to put the Old Testament and New Testament. I think, when you see the Old Testament and you see how those types and shadows come alive in the New Testament, it's like, wow, only God can do that. There is no way man wrote the Bible. There is no way. I mean, only God could do, take Ezekiel 1, and Ezekiel, I think, lived around 800 B.C. or something like that. 800 B.C. 800 years before Christ walked the earth. And he's, Revelation was written, let's say 70 AD, okay? 70 AD, so somewhere in that area. Okay, can you believe that 870 years went by from the time this Ezekiel was written to the time that Revelation 4:6 or 4:8 was written or whatever? I mean, only God could do that. I mean, no man is smart enough to put all that together. You know, it's just not possible.
Well, he did. Only God can do it because God was here. How old is God? He can last 700 years B.C., you know.
Right.
It only takes God to be able to do that.
That's right.
That's right. Okay, so let's move on. Let's talk about the wings a little bit, okay?
Oh, good.
The wings signify power. Okay, and I've written a bunch of different verses. The power of God is in the wings. I mean, let's start with, in the Malachi 4:2, it says, "Unto you shall be healing in his wings." So you don't lift up a bird and look at it and say, "Oh, did I see healing there?" No, it's all symbolic. It's all symbolic. That there is healing in his wings. The power of God is, the wings are signifying the power of God, okay? And he has power over everything, okay? He created it all, he has power over it all. And healing is in his wings. Now God's not, sitting in your chest per se, and he's got wings on him. No, it's all symbolic, okay? All right, so healing in the wings, Malachi 4:2, okay? And then there's protection in the wings, okay? In Psalm 17:8, it says, "Protect me as you would protect your own, or the apple or the pupil." I like that, pupil of your eye. Like Oscar talks about that story about how the little boy got in his aunt's face or whatever and looked in and could see himself as a reflection in her eyes, okay? Mm-hmm. And so that's how close we want God to us. there's protection. It says, "Hide me in under the shadow of the wings." Didn't Jesus said, Jerusalem, if I could just put you under my wings and protect you, but you don't want anything to do with me, And so there's protection there. God protects us under his wings. And Psalms 91, we all know that verse, Psalms 91, "Jehovah shall cover thee under his wings." So there's protection. That's the power of protection. We had the power of healing, the power of protection. So, the lion powers in us are fighting against evil. That doesn't mean you're, naming evil and you're, judging people and all that. No, it's for yourself, And, that's all inside of us, okay? The part of you that has the world would call it a conscience, is the lion powers in us, okay? The calf powers affects the mind. Mm-hmm. And of course, we said it earlier, man is the wisdom to know who God is. I mean, only man on this earth can really mm-hmm. have fellowship with God, because you have to, first of all, know who he is, and you have to be in a situation that you're willing to, you know, learn. And you wouldn't all be sitting here today if you didn't want to know more of who God is. We'd all be doing something else, right? So we want to know, we want that wisdom, because when we see him as he is, we will be like him. That's the ultimate in this whole walk that we're walking. If you had to come up with an ultimate sentence, that what is all this about? Mm-hmm. What is this whole life about? It's seeing Jesus for who he is. Because guess what? Our ultimate goal is to be like him. That's got to be our ultimate goal in this whole thing called life. Nothing else is more important. You might think your kids are more important. You might think that your spouse is more. Nothing is more important than that. Because when that happens, you know, your marriage is better. Your relationship with your kids is better. Your relationship with other people, everything gets better. It all gets better, because, you know, with Jesus, you look at his earthly walk, I mean, he loved everybody. You know, in Luke 15, man, he would hang out with the prostitutes. Doesn't mean that he would fall into sin with them. No, he didn't. Never sinned. But he loved them enough to sit down, break bread with them, and that's where the Jewish leaders got really upset with him. They said, man, you're dealing with unclean people. What the heck are you doing? You know, the tax collectors, the publicans, all the dregs of the earth, you know, that they would call the dregs of the earth.
The undesirables.
The undesirables.
I like it when he said that he was a physician.
He's the physician?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's why he hung out with
him. He is. I mean, let's face it. There was a time in my life, those folks wouldn't want to spend time with me, because I'd be beating them over the head with Jesus. And you know, through wisdom and years and maturity and whatever, I just go fellowship. We were at a get-together last night, and this Italian family, there's what, six kids, six spouses, or siblings, six siblings, very Italian, and to my knowledge, I don't think any of them go to church, do they?
Not that I know.
And I was in our friends, the lady brought me over, put her around me, told all her sisters, this is a man of God. And and so the first question I was asked, what do you think it was? The first question I was asked, what do you think that was?
Something about hell.
No, no.
Where do you go to church?
Well, kind of. What religion are you?
Yeah.
And I'm not any religion. I said, I just love the Lord with all my heart. That's all I said. And that lady that asked questions says, I like that. Because she was expecting Catholic, Methodist, Presbyterian, Pentecostal.
Then getting a rundown of what they believe.
And guess what? As soon as you say that, you're judged, right? You're judged. As soon as you say that, you're judged. If you say, man, I just love the Lord with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my soul, there's nothing can be judged on that, is there? I mean, that's a pretty, pretty innocent statement, and you're not dividing. You're hopefully bringing in. Mm-hmm. So it was just funny because, you know, people look at you different, folks. I'm telling you, every one of you, people look at you a little different, and they're watching you. And I mean, I'm drinking water. Now, there's nothing wrong with having a glass of wine or whatever, but I don't want to be considered a drunk if I'm a Christian, and I'm sloppy and all over. That's just me. I'm not judging anybody, but I'm just saying I have a glass of wine, but I mean, everybody was drinking except one other person, I think, And so the bottom line of that whole thing is they're watching. Once someone says, here's a man of God, they're going to watch you, whether you know it or not. I'm telling you.
What makes you know he's a man of God?
Yeah. Is he really? What's he like when no one's around, So anyway. So yeah, the wisdom to know who God is. Eagle is seeing and knowing truth. Seeing and knowing truth. That's what we've been talking about. The eagle has the eagle eyes. And we're not talking about physical sight. We're talking about seeing and knowing God. Okay? The truth is Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And so, seeing and knowing Jesus. How can we be like him if we don't see and know him? We got to know him. We got to see him. You don't just see it. You got to add knowing to it. Comes as a package deal. So, and I can't know Julie until we spend time together. When you first start dating, you didn't know that person really well. I mean, I knew Julie really well because it was a year we spent before we even went out on a date. So, I mean, I knew her pretty well. She knew me pretty well. But most of the time in that situation, you don't know them. So you get to spend some time with them to get to know them, and then you make it one or the other or both make a decision. Yeah, this is going to work. And then next thing you know, you get married, and 50 years later, you're still married, or whatever. So so anyway, just to recoup, it's the fighting against the evil that Jesus inside just basically keeps you thinking about stuff and hopefully making right decisions. And if we do make wrong decisions, he forgives us and we move on down the road. Calf powers that affect our minds, basically, and how we're, thinking and whatever. And remember we said that ox is patient, right? We got to be patient, folks. We got to be patient. We got to realize, I mean, the older I get, the more I realize, I should have been a lot more patient as a younger man. I wasn't very patient. I thank God that whatever patience I do have now, it's because of him. It's not because of anything I did, because I wasn't a patient person.
Tribulations.
Huh?
Tribulations,
yeah.
That work that patience.
That's right.
In.
Tribulation works it, and I've had a few of them. I had quite a few of them, but so have you. But anyway, yeah, so that patience is so important. And we don't have time to go. I'm really excited about this next part about this holy, holy, holy. Just to give you an idea, holy, holy, holy. We're going to talk about that next week. It's only in the Bible twice where it repeats it three times. It's only in the Bible twice. We're going to talk about both of those. It's very interesting. And it's something that... that is very personal to us. You're going to really, you're going to hopefully get something.
And us? Yeah. Personal with us?
Yeah.
Me?
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
Her? And
Everybody. We're going to talk about how Isaiah was basically saying, woe. You know what the word woe means?
Yeah. Uh-uh. Woe unto me.
What?
Woe unto me.
That's exactly what he said. That's exactly word for word what he said. As soon as the coal from the altar was touched to his lips, he said, holy, holy, holy. His eyes were opened up back to the stuff we were just talking. So he's going, whoa, whoa, whoa. Haven't we said whoa, whoa, whoa about ourselves before? I sometimes even say it today. But man, I'm instantly going to reverse that quickly and say, holy, holy, holy. We're going to talk about why there's three of them. And we're going to talk about, the context of how those two scriptures, basically come together.
Don't you see, though, what you're talking about? when you're first saved, like the zeal that you have and all that you're trying to get somebody, you know, to know the Lord and that. But how God is so merciful and gracious and loving that He sees our heart. Even when we're making all these mistakes,
He's patient as all, right?
He knows that you're doing it because of really the love that you have for Him, and you want others to experience it.
Thank God for His patience. With that. I always say, thank you, Lord, for having patience with me, because, man, I know I've tested His patience time and time again. So,
I love the story of Darlene Ensweiler when she first got saved and we worked together. And unbeknownst to anyone, she put salvation tracts in everyone's pay envelopes. Our Jewish employer was not happy.
Oh, I'm sure of that. Yeah. That's funny. Wow.
What was the story you told one time about the gentleman that was like on an island or somewhere with all of this tribe or group of people?
Yeah, this guy was actually an evangelist, a minister. He was shipwrecked on this island, and he was on there for 10 years. And they, another ship came 10 years later, and it had some missionaries on it. And they started talking to the natives about Jesus, you know, on the island. They started talking about Jesus, and they said, "Oh, we know Him." And they said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, He's been with us for 10 years." And they said, "You want to meet Him?" And they said, he took him over, and here it was this guy who had been shipwrecked there, but he had never talked to him about Jesus. He had just showed him the love of God. He had helped him. He had done things for him, you know, and just showed him the love of God. And they said, when they started talking about Jesus, they said, "Well, He's lived with us for 10 years.
I thought that was
But beautiful. That's what you were saying, Rich, about even telling people, you know, hey, you know, I just love the Lord.
That's
And, you know, if you do, it'll be apparent, you know.
Yeah, it's a little Bible study I'm in. The one guy said, you know, I struggle with maybe not witnessing enough to people. You know, and I said, you know what? Do you believe God speaks to us today? He said, yes. And I said, well, you know what? God will direct you to whom you're supposed to talk to. But other than that, just let your actions speak louder than your words. You know, let your actions, you know, show that love. He owns a company. You know, show that love to the people that work for you. You know, show that love to your family. Show that love to everybody. And you know what? That's as good a witness as any handing anybody a tract or a Bible or anything. Yeah. You know?
There's the one where they talk about, when they say go out and witness, use words if you need. Because we are.
One time I had a person come to me and ask advice concerning, you know, a situation about whether or not they could make money off of somebody or not make money off somebody, let somebody else make the money, you know what I mean, that they knew. And they asked me about it and was telling me about it. And I said, well, I said, is that person a brother in the Lord of yours? Well, yeah. I said, would it hurt you if you didn't make the money and they did? Well, no, not really. And I said, well, you tell me. And he said, how did I know you'd say that?
Yeah.
I let them answer it for themselves. Yeah. But see, that's where we're in trouble a lot of times, because that voice inside of us will be telling us, hey, you know to do the right thing here. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And a lot of times we don't do it, or we do it, either one of the two. But it just so happened that particular time that he asked me, and I just let him answer himself.
Sounds like when that rich guy came to Jesus and said, hey, what do I do to get inherit the kingdom of God and eternal heaven and all that? And then Jesus said, I've kept the law. I've kept the law since I was a kid. Yeah. And I mean, you could just see Jesus, you know, snickering a little bit. you know.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, so Jesus said, okay, I'm going to hit you back with the wall. Sell everything, give it to the poor, and come follow me. And the guy left dejected. If you're going to play with the law, then you better be ready to get hit up over the head with the law, because if you're going to want the law, mm-hmm. he's going to give you the law. Trust me. I mean, why would anybody want the law?
That's what they wanted when they were out there.
I know.
We want the, bring us some rules.
Yeah.
Give us a king.
Hope they could keep them, right. Okay. All righty. So anyway, let's pray and... I'll just go ahead and pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you for this wonderful, precious time of fellowship. And Lord, just breaking open your word and just learning more about you and becoming closer to you through your word. And Father, we just ask you, Lord, today to pour yourself through Mike. Lord, give him a special anointing here today, Father, that he would bring forth your word with power and authority, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.